So there's a tension in the aphorism between what we should be and what we are. So to get to the heart of this tension, we need to look at what one should be, what you should be. So I won't go into the word should, but anyway. So you need to clarify just what it is that we're trying to do in practicing the Dharma. What are we about? What is the aim or purpose at the heart of the spiritual life? And what does it tell us about, if anything, we should be? So if you take what one should be as the potential for Buddhahood, then how do we see the state of enlightenment? So you turn to the Buddhist tradition, and it's vast. It's really big. There's lots of books, and it's seemingly contradictory. People say different things over the ages. There's no one answer. So I've got a couple of things. So in the Sutta Nipata, the qualities of the Muni are described, amongst which are: he has no anger, no fear, and no pride. Nothing disturbs his composure, and nothing gives him cause for regret. He has no longing for the future or grief for the past. He can see detachment from the entangled world of sense impression. Okay, so here the Buddha is detached. He's free from the world, and he's not caught up in the past or the future. Which would be nice, you know, if you're in pain, that's an attractive vision, isn't it? That'd be nice if that happened. And then in the Samyutta Nikaya, we see a very different Buddha. Sariputta and Moggallana have just died, and the Buddha is sitting with his assembly. And speaking to Ananda, the Buddha says, "Now the assembly seems to me as though it were empty. The assembly is empty for me now that Sariputta and Moggallana have attained final Nibbana. There is nowhere one can look to and say, Sariputta and Moggallana are living there." So I don't think he means empty in terms of emptiness. He means like they're not there. He's actually missing his friends. He feels a loss. They've died. Which is very different from the detached. He has no longing for the future or grief for the past. So they're very different descriptions of the Buddha. But they both, I think, they both contain a partial truth. They're both speaking to different ends of the polarity in Bhante's aphorism. And I think to resolve the tension, we need to bear both partial descriptions in mind. The Buddha as a transcendent being, detached from the world and free from pain, and the Buddha as a strongly feeling man who felt the loss at the death of his good friends. So we'll come back to that. So the aphorism highlights one of the distortions of the developmental model and the path of transcendence. So by attempting to transcend our experience, the danger is that you get ahead of yourself. You cut off from where you're really at, and you imagine you're further along the path than you actually are. And this is spiritual practice as casa building in the sand, yeah, or casa building in the air. There's no foundation to your practice. And it's based on a fear that if we accept the content of our awareness, we'll deepen the hold it has on us. It will take us away from our spiritual ideals. But such attempts at transcendence are, however, a non-transcendence when they lead to splitting and denial. And then, of course, you could swing the other way. You could give up your bhavana practice, and you could diss the developmental approach, and you could pursue the immanence model and pure awareness. Do that. But then there's a similar danger the other way, the same distortion from another perspective. The danger then becomes that you dwell in or remain in your experience without seeing through it or beyond it. So emphasizing practice in either way leads to opposite ends of the tension that Bhante's talking about. What we should be, transcendence, and what we are, our experience.